Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson. And happy Wedding Wednesday to you. We are so happy to have you with us again. Our Twitter friends, our Facebook friends, and just our listeners in general. I also would love to say a happy anniversary to all of those who are celebrating in this month of December, as well as happy birthday to all of you Sagittariuses out there. We celebrate with you and just so happy to have you with us. Now, if you're joining us, you know that this month is the month where we are focusing on getting ready for the new year. So we've deemed this month Out with the Old for a Better New Year, and we've been talking about a number of different things. Last week we had a wonderful, wonderful talk with our guest, Stephane Labossière, and he is a certified life and relationship coach, and we talked about removing old habits that keep you from the relationships that you want, and not just your personal relationships, but your business relationships as well. If you missed that, of course, you can always catch that in the archive. Tonight, we're really focusing on families and supporting and being supportive of families. So we're going to be discussing writing, using writing to release and express all the things that you would like to get out for the year of 2013 so that you can start fresh and new for 2014. And I have two guests tonight. I have the wonderful and enterprising Jordan family, Jamal and Hanif Jordan, and their two sons will be joining us, Savan and Samad. And at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to be speaking with author Tremaine Moore, and he has some wonderful things to share with us about his writing. But we can talk more about that just before he comes on. Stay tuned. And if you're looking to call in, if you have any questions or comments, give us a little time to talk with our guests a little bit. And then, of course, you're welcome to call in and ask them whatever you need. And if you choose to, the number is 347-996-3160. So you know what? I'm not going to prolong it any longer. I'm going to have our guests come in. Hello, family. It's too funny. Now, I'm a little jealous because you guys are calling from California and I'm over here in New York freezing. Dare I ask what the temperature is like out there?
Had a 43-degree night last night, so I know that's kind of laughable out in New York, but 43 degrees, I ain't never seen 43 degrees before.
You know, I will take that 43 over what you're I will see your 43 with a 17 and 11 degrees.
Oh. Yeah, see, that's why I live on the West Coast.
So, of course, I'm very excited to have you guys on. For my listeners, if you don't know, the Jordans were my very first guest on Tribal Wisdom. Has it been 2 years yet? I think it's almost 2 years now. No, like a year and a half, because I think we started this last August, to be precise. So almost a year and a half ago, the Jordans were my very, very first guests on the show and one of my highest listeners, one of my highest listened to shows. And they're such a joy to talk to, and we always have a lot of fun. So please excuse us if we kind of veer off a little bit. Don't mind us at all. It's just what we do. So, you know, introduce yourself again. You know, talk to us about all your many business ventures and everything that you're doing as a family.
All right. Well, you know me. I'm Hanif. I'm the mom, and I do have a blog talk radio show myself called Talking with Truth. I am a speaker, and, of course, I'm a fashionista, so I'll be teaching pretty soon the business of school and fashion pretty soon with Upgrade Women's Leadership Academy. So I'm excited about that. But I'll go ahead and let the rest of the family introduce themselves.
Hello, this is Paul Jordan. Other than investing in my children, my business venture is I aspire to own my own mobile radiography business where I can go to people's homes and take x-rays for them and not have to work for someone else.
I love it.
My name is Savannah Jordan, and I'm the author of the Mr. Short Stories. I'll be writing another book soon about my life and one about a zombie apocalypse where there's, like, people running away, and you would, like, it's a story where you, there'll be a, it's a story about there's 8 people, and they would survive, they'll be the survivors, and everybody else turns into zombies.
Okay. And one more person.
Cool.
Hey, my name is Samad, and when I was trying for my business, I was trying to get, like, have a DJ for, like, a mobile DJ / game.
A mobile DJ and game station?
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes, your mom did tell me about that. I think that's an awesome idea because as a kid, I was a huge video game freak. So I can just imagine the kind of reception that's going to get. I'd be on the truck all the time. They'd have to be like, you know, can we just drive you home? Get out. So that's pretty exciting. And so the whole family is very enterprising, and I find that to be wonderful. Why don't you guys talk to me about how it is that you've put together your principles to be able to support each other in what you do, and especially support your children in their creative endeavors?
Well, I've learned that you have to get out of your own way. You have to allow your mate to live some of their dreams and be very supportive, as well as your children. You know, it can't be your dream. It just can't. It has to be what they want. You just have to kind of find out what their niche is and make sure that they're serious about it. And if they're serious about it, you have to show them both aspects of the business. So for me and my husband, we show them the business side as well as the fun side because, you know, if you have to put money in order to make money, and they have to see that side and understand to read contracts and to know what they're signing and things like that. So we go ahead and fuel love into them, encouraging them to continue to do with their part. So, for instance, like Savon, he told me he wanted to write a book, and I told him that he had to make sure he did the work, and I would make sure he got published. And so he did his part, and he made sure that I stuck to my word and did my part.
Really?
I basically follow the rule that you can do anything you want to in life, and whatever you want to do, I'm there to support you. As long as it's being productive and not going to jail, I'm there to support you for whatever you want to do. And if that means if you want to be a mechanic for the rest of your life, if you want to play with dolls for the rest of your life, hey, I'm going to support you. But you got to work hard at it within whatever you do.
Nice, nice. So, you know what, let me talk to Savon for a minute, and then I'll talk with Samad. Savon, when it came to your writing, what inspired you to get started?
Oh, well, what inspired me to get started was when I was in third grade, I really used to like books. And when I started reading those books, it gave me an idea of being an author, like Jeff Kinney and Barbara Parks.
Nice. Okay, and what inspired you? What was the first story that you thought of writing on your own? No one told you to write it. You just thought of this character. What was your first story?
Well, my first story was Mr. Clopster, and he would, but my mom said I couldn't put him in the story because there was already somebody that sounded like him.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to, I'm probably going to put him in my other book.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And like with Zombie Apocalypse and the one about my life, I'm probably going to put him in that.
Okay.
And
his life, right? Okay.
Yeah, I can't wait to ask a question about his life. I'm going to get to that in a second. Let him finish, and then we're going to talk about his life.
I love it. so cute. Go ahead.
Go on, Savon. Go on.
Well, my life, my mom started with my name. My name came from where the two people met on the...
Your name is Armenian. Your name is an Armenian name.
It's an Armenian name.
And it came from about two lovers about a lake. That's how they met, right?
Yes.
The Lake of Love. Go ahead.
And that's how I got my name. Mm-hmm. And my book is related to my life because that was the first story I ever read in that. Wrote in that. Excuse me.
The story about your name?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the story that's about your life is going to be mostly about your name and how you were named and what you do, like your daily activities?
Yeah. Like it would be, I like to play Minecraft a lot, and my dad and my mom and my brother already know I like to play it.
Uh-huh.
And my brother sometimes likes to play it with me.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody in the family really likes the games that I play.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It's Kirby and Pokemon.
Oh.
I like Pokemon because it makes you have friendship with your Pokemon and other people. And you can have battles where it's not like cruel stuff. It's mm-hmm. like where you would battle and they'll say, like, good job. You did a great job battling. There's a professor in the beginning of the game that gives you your first Pokemon.
Oh, nice. So there's gift-giving and encouragement. What'd you say, honey?
We're going to stop him from talking about Pokemon because he would be on his phone the whole time talking about Pokemon. So.
No. It's cool.
Pokemon.
It's cool. Well, you know what? Honestly, I didn't even know Pokemon was still around, but it's good to know that Pokemon is teaching people about giving gifts and encouraging them by saying good job and all that great stuff. I think that's wonderful. Now, I'm almost afraid to ask about the zombie apocalypse, but...
Okay. Well, the zombie apocalypse is about where one man had an infection. He had a bad thing. Something happened to him. I don't want to say it because it might startle you, but something bad happened, and then he became back to life, and then he started infecting everybody, which they got sick and turned into zombies, and the only 8 people that survived is my mom, my dad, my brother, me, and 3 of my other friends.
Wow. So, I mean...
And we...
If the family survives, I mean, how are you? Do you actually wield a weapon? Is there going to be weapons in this or something?
It's like a bat. You would hold a bat so you can protect yourself. And, well, this is kind of inappropriate for the readers, but my mom was holding AK-47.
Oh, my goodness.
My dad, he was holding a shotgun, and my brother was holding a .44 Magnum, and I was holding a shaking knife and a bat. The shaking knife was in my pocket, and the bat was in my hand, and it would be misty. We went outside, so we could run.
I'm excited about this book.
It is. You know what?
There are zombies all around us, and we started killing them and beating them up, and then we went to, We went to a different house, but there were zombies already in there, so we started running to the next house, but the zombies didn't see us, and then my mom won't let me say nothing.
Okay, yeah, because you got to save it.
All right, I'll save the story until I finish it.
Okay, that would be great. Now, I need to understand how it is you know about AK-47s. 44 Magnum.
We play Call of Duty Black Ops, Call of Duty Black Ops 1, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Call of Duty Black Ops Ghost, and Modern Warfare 3.
Thanks to Dear Daddy.
Okay. All right. I see you trying to shift all the blame all of a sudden. You live in the same house. Don't even try it.
I don't play none of them games, girl, but I can't. It's so funny to see all these young men and with their father just sit here and just bond like that the way that they do. It cracks me up. I think the beauty of it is when I walk around the house and I hear all three of them just laughing at, you know, just sitting there laughing together, and how they all sound so alike, you know, and it just warms my heart to hear that laughter in my home. I love that bonding. I love that they do that with each other.
Nice. All right, so now that we know about all the weaponry that's going to be in the Zombie story. I'm so glad that I do not plan on being a zombie anywhere near California or anywhere else, so that I don't get hit with any kind of the stuff that you got in your stories. Now let's talk to your brother. Let's talk to Samad about this video. I'm more interested in the video game, the mobile video game machine. How did you think this up?
Well, what basically inspired me, and my mom and dad's gonna laugh about this, but basically what inspired me was video games and music.
My
like,
love of music, yeah.
Yeah, my love of music and video games. And what my dad got me was, you know, Black Ops, how...
Go ahead.
Black Ops 2, how my brother said it.
Mm-hmm.
And the music was like... Well, I'm not sure if this is going to be...
Yeah. What kind of music do you like?
Like Lil Wayne or something.
You're,
right.
And you're rock.
Mm-hmm. Rock.
You don't really like Lil Wayne, so I don't
yes,
even know
I
what
do.
You do.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, teach me something.
And Eminem. And...
What about that rock band of yours?
B-Y-O-E. Yeah, that's the one I like, too. Thank you, Sifan. That's the one I like, too.
Butters, no butters.
Oh, no.
Did you catch that?
I actually did catch that.
He said, brothers, no brothers. Oh, my goodness. I'm talking about Linkin Park and all that stuff. That what I like about Samad is that he listens to all variety of music. But go ahead. I won't talk for you. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my mom's...
Well, you know what it is? I mean, to our listeners, we're not just talking to two young men who are just speaking about what they want. They actually have Facebook pages. Savon has author Savon J. Jordan on Facebook, so if you have a chance, please go over and visit and like his page. I have posted the link here in the event on Facebook. And Samad has Samad's Fun Shack. That's the place I want to visit. No AK-47s allowed in your mother's hand, please.
Thank you.
So these gentlemen are not just talking about what it is that they want to be doing, but they are following through with the support of their parents to make these things happen for themselves. And the communication between all of them is so wonderful, as you can hear, based on the conversation. And I would say if you have questions for them, but I know, but they're gonna get ready to go in a few minutes. But let's get back to the Fun Shack with music and video games. And where did you plan on putting this Fun Shack? You said it's going to be mobile, so what were you thinking of putting it in?
DJ equipment. I would... Well,
it's
a mobile vehicle.
And
what I plan on having is, like a DJ, like kinds of variety of music, like...
A DJ booth in there?
Yeah, a DJ booth. And for games, I would...
TV.
Flat screen TV.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Flat screen TVs, I guess there's going to be like two or three. And for games...
Mm-hmm.
Like an Xbox or PlayStation, something like that.
I love it. So, are you going to take this around just in the neighborhood? Is it going to be parked in one place? Or are you going to go around and use it for parties so people can hire you for parties to just come park outside the party for people to come out and play?
Yes and no. Yes, that's, like, no for neighbors and stuff, no. it's for kids, and, yeah.
Parties
and stuff.
They can
like
hire
that.
You.
So that way they can hire me for parties.
Wonderful. All right, so now let me just talk to the parents about what an outlet this is for your children to be able to talk with you and express their creativity this way? You know, how is it that you're putting this? I mean, you already said in the beginning that you kind of you have to listen. Listening is an important part of making sure that the communication stays open. What other tips would you offer to individuals who are moving into the new year? They need to get a new outlook on how they're going to structure their family and spend time with their families and really begin to listen and nurture the talents that their children have.
Well, what we do here is we just, like I said, we sit and talk, but I do believe in writing things down, especially the parents. Write down and remember what your children are telling you, and do not procrastinate. If they see that you're excited about their dream, then they'll also be excited about doing it too. And really execute, because children really do pay attention to every word you say. They watch your actions, the things that you do. And for Savon, for instance, when he wanted to do his book, I had to really research and find out how I could get his book published, who could I go through, what could I do for him, because as he said to me, you know, he did his part. So he did his part by writing it. And don't do the work for your children. Make sure that they're doing, you know, if this is their dream, say if they want to be an artist, well, make sure that they're drawing their pictures and make sure that they're with you when you're going out there to network and so that they can see the business aspect of it. But to start something off for the new year, just sit with your children and really listen. You'll be shocked on what they're saying. I mean, don't get ear. You know, kids can weigh on you sometimes. You know, they talk a lot. But just really listen to the key things. You'll be shocked on what you would hear.
I also, my part is make sure it's their dream and not yours. My biggest thing for my children were, hey, I want you to want to do this. Because if we get halfway through it and you start getting tired of it, then we've invested a lot of time and a lot of money. And not that that's not a good thing. But we want to make sure that this is something that you want to do and not something that you want to push on your kid, because if it's something you push on your kid, eventually they're not going to want to continue, and you're going to be angry at them when you should be angry at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure that I didn't push him into doing anything that he didn't want or they didn't want to do.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Great. Okay, so again, you know, we'd like to say thank you to the Jordan family for being on the show. As always, you know, I always enjoy you guys so much, and we don't get a chance to talk as much as I would like to, but I still know, you know, how much I love and care about you guys.
Yes, you do. So the same with you, sweetheart.
So if you get a chance, please do visit their all of their Facebook pages. I've already posted, as I said, the boys, Brothers Who Know Brothers.
Yes. That is classic, okay?
I've already posted their pages in the event. Of course, I will have to post. Is TMC page still up? Touch My Closet?
Yes, but you know what? Just they can find me under Hanif R. Jordan. That is good enough. And
nice.
I really, for right now, I would love for everyone to go out and support Samad and Savon. That would just warm our hearts for people to continue to see and to support what they're doing, because it takes a community to help these kids live their dreams. And remember, I do believe, I know this sounds cliche, but they are our future, and what mm-hmm. we put in them is what we're going to get out of it.
Exactly, exactly. So what I'm going to do is ask that you place all their information in the event as well, because I think I just kind of put the name. But if you want to go ahead and post the links to whatever it is that they've got, you know, everything that they've got going on, go ahead and post it in the event and you know, post a few words and let people know that that's where they can find all of their events and happenings. And Savon, didn't he just celebrate a birthday or something?
Yes, December 1st was his birthday, but December 7th was his launch party, and he is now 10 years old.
Right.
And the launch party went great. We sold out of all of his first books.
Nice.
And we already actually have a back order of people who want his books. He did a reading. Everyone loved it. He's coming into his own little authorship. He's doing
nice.
A great job with it, and we're very proud to call him our son.
Wonderful, wonderful. So listeners, if you're just tuning in, We are talking with the Enterprising Jordan family, with husband and wife team, Jamal and Hanif Jordan, and their two beautiful sons, Savad and Samad. And we're talking about their entrepreneurial ventures that they've got going on, one being the author, the other being the creator of the Fun Shack. Please do visit their pages. I'm sure that they've got pictures up of the launch party and the book signing and the reading. And, you know, go and make a comment, like the photos, like the page, and enjoy what we've got going on here tonight. So we're going to say good night to the Jordans. We thank you so much for being on, guys.
Thank you for having us.
So silly. So silly. Okay. Now, we're getting ready for the second part of our show, where we're talking with author Tremaine. Just give me one second. I need to make sure. Yes, yes, I do see that he is on the line here. And he has written a number of books, Tremaine Moore. He's written a number of books, and I've had a chance to skim through one of them that I think is great. Now, one of the let me just say the names of his books. One being, I think his latest. In fact, I think I'm going to have him tell you the name of his latest book. But before he comes on, I want to read one of the passages from his book, Take It From Her, that I really, really enjoyed. And Take It From Her, I'll have him explain what this book is about. But the name of this poem, it is a book of poems, is called This Is Me, A Woman's Declaration. And it reads, "Hi, oh, how am I? You want to know my name? Wait, do you think this beauty I possess is my claim to fame? Don't focus on my exterior, get inside my mind. Don't walk away, are you scared of what you might find? Well, this is me, a highly favored woman of the Most High, purpose to live for him until the day I die. This is me, a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Don't hate when I say I place no God but Jehovah above me. This is me, a woman who's living in prosperity, spiritually and however else God chooses. I say that with sincerity. This is me. I'm God's child who's been washed in his blood. With my Redeemer in my heart, I can withstand any fire and any flood. Can you handle this? Can you get up on my level? Because I don't have time for fake people. I don't patty cake with the devil. When you look at me, my desire is what you see, that this is me, predestined and determined to be what he's ordained me to be." I like this poem very, very much, and I want to welcome Tremaine and talk about his journey into becoming the author that he is, and share his journey with us. Tremaine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm good. I'm good. Great. Thank you. So happy to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Why don't you tell our listeners who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do?
Well, I'm Tremaine Moore. I grew up a military brat. That's a term that we use for us military kids who had parents who were in the military, and we moved around a lot. So I have my share of moving around, but I didn't move too much. I would say I lived in the Delaware, Maryland area, lived in Germany, and then my dad retired in California. But I also went into the military myself. I was stationed in Alaska for 3 years, and now I live in sunny Florida, where last week it was in the 80s. I heard you mentioned that it was about 17 degrees, so
it's crazy up here.
I apologize for gloating.
You need to go ahead and bottle a little of that sunshine and send it up north. Please. Please, I beg you. Okay, so go on. So you are the author of a number of books with some very intriguing titles. Why don't we talk about those books?
Sure. The poem that you just read was from my second poetry book called Take It From Her. The other two books in the poetry series is called Take It From Me and Take It From Him. Mm-hmm. What I liked about that poem that you wrote, that you read, This Is Me, I actually had somebody in mind when I wrote it, and you didn't hear this, but I actually wrote it while sitting in a training one day. I just sat and wrote the poem out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The two more recent books that I've written, Deaf, Dumb, Blind, and Stupid, about child sexual abuse and teenage suicide, That was released last year in my most recent novel, Pieces of Me, Finding Heather Jones, is about domestic violence in the faith community.
Now, both of these books are fiction?
Yes. I would say Deaf, Dumb, Blind, and Stupid is a mixture of fiction and fact.
Because it's coming from your own personal experience?
Yes, my experience. It has some elements of sexual abuse in the story of fiction, but a lot of the feelings that I had were real. And 2 years ago, around this time today, I was on the tip of wanting to end my life. So the area of suicide in the end of the story is relatively real, but by the grace of God, I'm still alive.
Amen to that. From what I understand, writing really kind of helped save your life. Is this correct?
It did. Mm. It did. For me, writing was an outlet. I never intended on being an author. I used to just write because I needed an outlet. I believe I was either going to explode or there was no telling what was going to happen growing up, especially when you had a family member who was molesting you, verbally abusing you, physically abusing you. So I used to write letters to other family members, just getting my anger out. And then as I got older, I used to write poetry just to get all of my feelings out, whether it be happy or sad. I was able to just write it out. And that's what brought me to where I am today.
Nice, nice. Now you're 5 books in, correct?
Correct.
Nice. Now, the book that was done last year, not the Pieces of Me, but Deaf, Dumb, Blind, and Stupid. Am I saying this right?
Yes.
Okay. This book is specifically geared toward addressing the church, protection of children, listening to children, and more. Talk to me about how you weave this together and the message that you're trying to put out there.
Well, when I was given the vision to write the book, it was in 2010. It was right after releasing Take It From Her. The vision came where I was to write my story, but there was going to be a suicide. And as I was going through my suicide spell 2 years ago, a lot of people in the church world were like, get over it. Pray for yourself. And all what I saw was a selfish mentality. Now, I'm in the church, and I still attend church. But it gave me an awareness as to how we can classify people who may be going through something, whether it be abuse or a mental illness or going down a dark path. And I learned when I was going through mine that we can take on the mentality of, if you're not part of my clique or my family, I don't have time to deal with you. It's kind of like a what's in it for me, or, you know, it's kind of like a favoritism thing. So as it relates to kids, and I've spoken to a lot of teenagers before releasing my first book, I found out that a lot of the teenagers were being rejected by their own family members and other people. It's like their voices were not even heard. So it gave me the understanding that now I understand why kids are cutting themselves, attempting suicide, and doing things just so they could be heard, even at the expense of their own life.
And why the church? What is so important about that institution that you wanted to make sure that you address them about recognizing the things that are going on in the community of that, in their youth, their youthful community?
Well, I believe that the church is a place where people are to get help. Like they say, church is not for the well, but it's also for the sick. But if we're not healing the wounds or helping the wounds to heal, then we have a huge problem. And in fact, a quote from my book, Deaf, Dumb, Blind, Stupid, it was actually near the end. What I said was, we as a country are on the brink of losing the next generation, and it's sad that the only remedy for an abused child is drugs or illicit sex. This is part of the reason some kids and even adults commit suicide. So what do? Say to the abused, the Lord says to forgive and get over it. That's not an easy fix for someone who has suffered under the hands of the enemy who's trying to kill them. To add insult to injury, no charges are brought up against the abusers, who are in some cases even protected by other adults, and cursed is the victim. Somebody needs to hear them, or we as a country will continue to lose God-gifted people to the hands of death. You know, for Jesus did say in this world we will have tribulation, but we're walking around blind and oblivious to what's going on around us. When we tell children that they need to submit to their abuse to keep their mouth shut and serve God in the process, what message are we sending them? So that was something that I wanted to deal with, especially when the church institution nowadays has become more self-centered. And I believe that there's always room for improvement.
Okay. And in keeping with the theme, because the theme, of course, this month is out with the old for a better new year, we're talking about getting rid of these kind of old habits of covering up or covering the abuser and not protecting the one that's been abused. When we talk about a process or a list of habits that need to be addressed so that we don't take them forward, what would you, you know, list a few for me?
The one thing that stands out more than anything is to sit down and actually think about, is this a cycle of abuse a generational curse? Meaning, has it gone back to your parents, your extended family members, and find out if it's going back. And if so, make a declaration to say that the curse stops here in order for you to progress forward, especially going into 2014. The last thing you want to do is to continue living with issues that are unresolved. Now, it's okay to have the issue, but at least be proactive in taking measures of becoming whole.
So your first tip was to really kind of address it, see if it's something that's been generational, if it's happened before, or even if you're oblivious to it, is it going on right now? And if it is, you need to address it.
Exactly.
What would be another?
Another is to not just deal with the outer surface, now moving more into the domestic violence, but it can apply to any other area, where sometimes when we want to deal with things that's going on in your life, we don't want to deal with the root of the matter. We just want to deal with the surface and say, I don't want to do that. Go through that, or I don't want to go through counseling, I don't want to take prayer or anything like that. And what's going to happen is a blanket is being thrown over and you're not really able to grow. In fact, what's going to happen is the negativity will show in your attitude and the frustration will show in your attitude, and really you're going to be injuring not only other people, but more importantly, your life.
Yes, because the adage is true that hurting people hurt people. Especially when you don't even realize that you've been wounded and you're behaving a certain way, you turn around and hurt other people. So it you're right. It has to be addressed. And, you know, you don't want to take this in any further to a new year. From your books are coming from your experiences. What would you say? You were about to say something.
No, go ahead. You're good.
You know, I wanted you to talk about the parts of the book that were had the biggest impact when it came to writing and getting it out and helping you with your self-healing.
What was probably the greatest impact? I believe the greatest impact was knowing that this, it wasn't for me, and I know that this was for somebody that is on the brink of suicide. And I don't even know it, but this is to save a life. So I know that this is not for me. This is not for a sale. This is for a work to bring hope, restoration, and revelation to a hurting soul.
And
I try to convey that in all of my writings.
Right. And you've actually let us know that it is the process of writing that has restored, that has kind of give you that restoration and everything else. What about the process of writing is so healing? What is the catharsis about it?
The beauty of healing is the fact that you can let your mind, because I don't know about you, but my mind is like always going. Sometimes I wish I could just turn it off, but I can't. And I can just let my fingers on the keys just type everything that's on my mind, and it's like a release. In fact, when I submitted Deaf, Dumb, Blind, Stupid to my editor, it felt like 15 pounds was off of my shoulders.
Wow.
So it is so cathartic to write.
Right, right. And again, from your experience, if you're talking to other children, because it is important that we do let it be known that protecting our children should be one of our number one priorities, not just protecting our family as a whole, but we need to protect our children from any kind of enemy or abusers, because it helps protect their future. You're not just protecting them, you're protecting their future and how they respond to so many things. Being able, you know, because we have listeners of all ages on this show, you know, what would you say to a child right now that who's thinking of ending their life, or, you know, or they need to get this out?
I would tell a child, a teenager, to find a journal, find a diary or a book that they could just start writing. And see, the beauty of writing is it's your world that you're writing in. But I would also advise you, keep it in a place that is secret. That way no one can find it unless you allow it. Because I'll be honest, I had a journal when I was growing up, and I had a snooping parent around that was always trying to find something to kind of pick an argument with. So I know from experience that this is your world that you're in, and I believe if you start writing, it will help the pain more than anything. So I would just say start writing. Find a safe outlet that you can just let your mind and your heart be free.
And what about recognizing, I would say, an adult or a trusted individual that you can kind of go talk to about your feelings? And, you know, because most children will not talk to their parents about feelings of wanting to die or be gone or anything like that in order for them to really seek help for them. What would you say? I mean, like, let's talk to them. Let's say, you know, you gotta find someone to talk to. If you're not just creating your world of writing, especially if you're being abused, whether it be mentally, physically, or spiritually.
Right. See, now this is a case where somebody has to turn on their discerning spirit, number one, but more importantly, number two, find somebody that you can at least develop a trust. Now I'm talking to adults first.
Mm-hmm.
Adults, because, I mean, sometimes you just can't talk to anybody. I mean, I know I can count on one hand who I can talk to, and I know that my business won't be on the street, number one. Number two, I won't get a finger pointed at me as to I'm being the problem. But for a child, I can speak from my experience. I didn't tell my parents up front that I was being abused. I actually told a classmate, which indirectly went to the school. So I think the school was an outlet where I was kind of safe and where that I wouldn't be judged, but at the same token, they really didn't take too much action. They just called my parents and told what happened. But I would say tell an authority or some sort. It's a risk involved, especially when you're a child, because a child doesn't know who they can trust and who's going to betray them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like a game of Russian roulette. But I would say let your voice be heard. I mean, and somebody will eventually take you seriously.
And I think that's why you said you also kind of addressed the church, because you know that there's got to be some individuals in there who, A, have discerning spirits, and, B, are willing to take action in order to save the life of one of their young parishioners.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about, you know, why you address the church. We talked about kind of steps and patterns that we could take to really start releasing everything from the past, from 2013, purchasing yourself a journal, making sure you're writing a lot of things down, you know, express yourself so that it's not bottled up and then you start exhibiting off behavior. Let's go right on into your books and expressing each one. I know we talked very briefly about it, but we need to know where we can find your books and what each one talks about. You have three, I believe you said, that are books of poetry.
Yes. Take It From Me was my firstborn, and basically these are just poems from my perspective, from addressing domestic violence, AIDS awareness, I have a poem in there for single moms to encourage them. And it's just a whole host of poems to just, you know, just give you things that what goes on in this brain of mine, but also, again, offering hope and revelation and restoration for a hurting soul. Taken from her is poems from a woman's viewpoint. I always get the question, how do you know what to write when it comes to a woman? Well, I have a lot of female friends, and also asked a couple of my sister friends for things that concern them, and I was able to, by the grace of God, to get inside the mind of the woman and just write. Taken from him is from a man's perspective, things that we men go through that we sometimes don't want women to kind of know. So I just kind of put some things out there to for us men and for women to also understand about us. It's not a Steve Harvey kind of book, you know, like act like a lady, think like a man. It's a little different.
And of course, what makes it so different?
What's that?
What makes it different if it's not like a this is how you should
like
act?
Basically, I break it up into seven types of men, but also show how we deal with things, but also how we find restoration as well, and how a woman can help come beside us and not bash us at the same time. So that's the approach I take with Take It From Him.
Okay.
And okay. Pieces of Me is the recent book. This is about domestic violence in the faith community. I find that abuse happens a lot in the church, and it's also covered up at the same time. And that's what I wanted to address with Pieces of Me, where abuse situation was going down and the pastor was for abusing women.
Wow. Okay, yeah, that I've heard that to be kind of common in some churches. And that's your latest book, which is fictional, you said?
Yes.
Okay. If you're interested in any of Tremaine Moore's book, you can find them where? Where can we find you?
You can find me on Amazon. I have them available on paperback and Kindle. Same with Barnes & Noble's on paperback in the Nook. And also on my website, which is www.maintree, spelled M-A-Y-N-E, T-R-E.com. In fact, I'm having a special. If you buy one, you can get one. You can buy any one of my books. You can get one for free. And the first five people who take advantage of that offer, it's a bonus gift.
Wonderful, wonderful. Talk to me about price points of the books.
Say that again.
What are the price points of the books?
Oh, all of my books are $10 each.
Wonderful. Okay, so for $10, you can actually take advantage of his current special where he's doing buy one, get one free. So you're going to get two books for the price of one, and that is just a mere $10. And then I think you said for the first five individuals who kind of take advantage of his promotion, you also get a special bonus. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know what it is, but I'm sure it's going to be great. You want to take a look at his site. I'm going to go ahead and place everything into the event so that you will be able to visit and see what this author has been up to, what he's doing, what he's showing and teaching. He's really bearing his soul and his life in his stories, and he's got a lot to say. So I'm going to ask you all to really go and support him and his endeavors and have conversations with him on Facebook. He would love that. He would love for you to talk to him about what it is you would like to know. Ask him questions and interact. Tremaine, I'm so sorry. I'm busy drinking tea.
Oh, you're good. You're good. You're good.
We were so happy to have you on and talking about your story. Is there something else that you're thinking of writing? What is your next venture?
My next venture is actually a book that I kind of put aside 4 years ago to deal with the sexual abuse and domestic violence. Now I'm going to address bullying. I believe that this is something that's dear to me because having been abused growing up and I was also bullied, I believe now bullying has gotten out of hand, especially with cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm.
And kids are living a life that's going to lead them down a path of destruction. And it's our job, especially with our generation, to be proactive with saving the next generation, because if we don't, we're in serious trouble.
Wonderful. What I really like about this author is that he's literally waging war on abuse, on sexual abuse, on domestic abuse, and bullying. And these things are something that affects people at any and all ages. So the fact that someone is really coming out and addressing it in their writing, you haven't like veered off to do anything else. You really talk about empowering women, men, and children, and you really shine a light on any and every kind of abuse and why it needs to be stopped and why we need to really step up and protect one another. Do you, you know, clearly I'm going to say that this is a calling for you because it's something that you're staying along the lines of that particular subject. True?
This is true. And I never dreamed I'd be doing this, to be honest.
But you're doing a wonderful job. I just want to encourage you to keep doing so because it is something that needs to really happen. I want you to keep us posted on your next venture. I want to be able to tell my listeners about it and talk to them about it after, of course, placing it in the event on Facebook and on the Facebook page.
Well, definitely.
Wonderful. And, of course, you are so welcome to come back on the show again. And you know what? I think I'm going to have to start posting some of your poetry here and there. Maybe you'll come on and read some poetry for me.
Sounds good. I'd be more than willing to do that.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm so grateful for this connection. And as always, you know, I guess we're down to the end of the show. We were so happy to have both of our guests on. If you're just tuning in, you're tuning in to the end of the show. But we talked with the Jordan family today with all of their adventures and ventures in family. One son that just turned 10 years old, and he's an author of his own book, Mr. Short's Short Stories. And the other son, he is developing an idea for his Fun Shack dealing with video games. It was wonderful speaking with them and finding out what they're doing and what they're up to. And then, of course, you'll be able to get a chance, once you listen to the archive, of course, because we're winding down, as I said, you're going to listen to author Tremaine Moore about his books of poetry and spoken word and his two fictional books. One is Deaf, Dumb, Blind, and Stupid, and he's addressing sexual abuse and the church. And Pieces of Me, I believe he said it again, Pieces of Me is going to be dealing with domestic violence, did you say?
Yes.
Pieces of Me is dealing with domestic violence and the story of that. It sounds like they're going to be wonderful, intriguing books. I urge you to please go and check them out as we say goodnight. And you'll be joining us again next week as we continue our month of Out with the Old for a Better New Year. Please, please, we'll see you next Wednesday. You know that we are a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun, all about family, all about relationships, and we love that you come on and listen to us and support us in everything that we do. Please, we'll see you next week. Have a good night.